A reading from the book of the prophet Daniel. In those days, I, Daniel, heard this word of the Lord. At that time there shall arise Michael, the great prince, guardian of your people. It shall be a time unsurpassed in distress since nations began until that time. At that time your people shall escape, everyone who is found written in the book. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some shall live forever. Others shall be an everlasting horror and disgrace. But the wise shall shine brightly, like the splendor of the firmament. And those who lead the many to justice shall be like the stars forever. The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, every priest stands daily at his ministry, offering frequently those same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But this one offered one sacrifice for sins and took his seat forever at the right hand of God. Now he waits until his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has made perfect forever those who are being consecrated. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer offering for sin. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus said to his disciples, "In those days after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from the sky, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the end of the earth to the end of the sky. Learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branch becomes tender and sprouts leaves, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, know that he is near at the gates. Amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that hour or day no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, our green has disappeared, or is disappearing very quickly. We are reminded that fall is gone, summer is gone, and it's the time of the year, November, when the church reflects on the last things. The last things being death, judgment, heaven, and hell. From the first day of November, All Saints Day, until Christ the King Sunday, all of our readings will deal with these things. Today we're going to focus on resurrection. Now, in the gospel, we see this pattern of darkness, the quaking of the heavens, and the unsurpassed distress. But there's a very important thing that Jesus tells us. He says, when this happens, no one will know but only the Father. The message in so many of our scriptures this month and in the other years, year A and C, is Jesus telling us to be ready. We don't know when the hour is going to come, but we are to be ready. Well, we always, as human beings, we like to speculate, though, don't we? We like to wonder, well, what's it going to be like in heaven? When's it going to happen? Will it happen during my lifetime? What will happen when I die? The speculation has occurred for 2,000 years, even though Christ tells us don't worry about the time. I was reading a Catholic commentary this week, and there were it was a lengthy discussion about, over the last 2,000 years, how many times people have come up with an idea. Well, it's going to happen on March 4th, 1733. And there would be a whole lot of people that would get excited about that and make those plans, but that day would come and nothing happened. We are not to really be speculating on that. That's not what Christ wants us to do. But we do. We speculate anyhow. And we even tell jokes about it or tell stories about it. I read one this week. It was about a father and one of his parishioners, Joe, the taxi cab driver. Father and Joe happen to die on the same day. They go up to heaven, and Peter meets them at the pearly gates. Peter takes Father in first. He's walking down, he sees a mansion in the distance, and he's hoping that's where he's going to abide in heaven. But there's a little shack beside the mansion, and that's where Peter takes Father. He goes into the shack. It's very simple, but it's a modest abode. There's bread and water on the table for him. Peter goes back to get Joe, takes Joe down the same path. Joe sees the shack and figures he's going there. But instead, Peter takes him into the mansion with all its fine things, its fine food, even a swimming pool in back. The father sees this, and he goes over to Peter right away, and he says, "Peter, I just don't understand. I mean, I've done everything that I was expected of a priest. And Joe, I know he's a good guy, but he's a little bit of a rascal. So I'm confused as to why he's in the mansion and I'm in the shack." Well, Peter says to Father, "Well, see, Father, it's like this. Every Sunday, yes, you were faithful. But every Sunday when you were giving your homily, there were all kinds of people sleeping. But Joe, when people stepped into his cab and he hit the gas pedal, they all started praying." Well, Father, that's not you. Right? Maybe it's the deacon. But anyhow, we wind up doing these speculations. Now, I'm going to speak mostly about the first reading, and that's from the book of Daniel. Daniel is a book that teaches about the apocalypse. It's considered an apocalyptic writing, and there are only two of the books of the Bible that are considered that. And that's Daniel, and at the end of the Old Testament, the book of Revelation. What's an apocalypse? It's a revelation. It's a telling of something that wasn't known before. And in particular, in the Bible, it deals with the end times, the last things. It's not a history book like Genesis, or a wisdom book like Proverbs, prophecy book like Isaiah, or a prayer book like the Psalms, but it's a unique writing. When was Daniel written? Well, it was written in the 2nd century of B.C., and the purpose of the author writing it was to encourage the Maccabees to be faithful during Antiochus's rule. Okay, who were the Maccabees? Well, they were people that objected to what Antiochus, a ruler that conquered the area and started enforcing Greek ways on the people. He wasn't happy with just the governance or the laws, but he wanted people to worship the Greek gods. So he forbid the sacrifices in the temple. The Maccabees objected. They started a revolt, and 3 years later, they were able to get rid of Antiochus and reestablish worship in the temple. But many of them died in the process. They had a choice to make. Will we be faithful to God, or will we listen to Antiochus? And that choice often came with death. So this book was written to encourage them. It's written about Daniel, a man who faced similar challenges to what the Maccabees would have faced. Now, Daniel was a 6th century B.C. Jewish hero who lived during the Babylonian exile. As a young man in Babylon, the king noticed how bright he was, and the king, the Babylonian king, took him into his service. He served the king loyally, similar to how Joseph would have served the pharaohs. But like Joseph, Daniel was faced with challenges. The king issued an edict that said, "Everybody must worship me. You can't pray to your God." Daniel continued to do so. He was reported, and he was thrown into the lion's den, where, as we all know, God rescued him. So the first part of this book of Daniel is about the stories about Daniel and his companions and how they're loyal to God in times of challenge. Our reading today, however, comes from the second part, and the second part is the apocalyptic part that talks about what things will be like at the end of time. Our reading today, Daniel 12:2, these words are said, "Those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall wake. Some shall live forever, others shall be in everlasting horror and disgrace." The importance of this verse is it's really the first time in the Old Testament that the doctrine and the teaching about resurrection after death is revealed. What did they believe before that? They believed in a thing called Sheol. Sheol was the place, the abode of the dead. When everyone died, whether you were a good person in this life or a bad person, you went down to Sheol. Sheol was a place where you couldn't hear God's voice and God could not hear your voice. It was a place of nothingness. In those days, the reward for a good life was prosperity for the individual. It was taught that if you were a good person, you'd be blessed in this life. You would be able to taste the fruit of your vine, and you'd be able to see your children's children to the fourth generation. In other words, you'd have a life of where you were blessed materially and blessed with a long life. For Israel, the nation, to be blessed, people would have to follow God's rules. If they did, they were blessed, and there was peace in the kingdom. If they weren't faithful, then there would be conflict. Well, we believe in the resurrection. It's in a fundamental part of our teaching and our belief. But we understand the full impact of the resurrection, what it really means. And what do we confess? And we will confess it and profess it just in a few moments when we say the creed. I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. The full understanding of the resurrection comes only with when Jesus is here, when he's incarnate, when he dies on the cross, and he rises again. This was the amazing thing, that this event, his resurrection, that propelled the disciples, the apostles, Paul, to go throughout the world. And what did they proclaim? Their fundamental proclamation throughout the epistles was that Jesus Christ is Lord. Why? Because he's risen. All of what we believe in our whole faith is based on the fact that he rose from the dead, that he conquered sin and death once and for all, that he offered as the high priest this perfect sacrifice. If this didn't happen, Paul says to the Corinthian church at the end of the letter of 1 Corinthians, we are fools. We're the most pitiable creatures to believe in what would be a fiction. Well, we know it's not a fiction. There's another very practical message for us from the last two verses of Daniel 12. These are verses that we don't read, but they're words of tremendous beauty and promise. Remember here, God is speaking to Daniel. And what does he say to Daniel? Blessed is he who waits. Daniel, we know that you're suffering. We know that things are difficult for you, but wait, trust in me. Jesus tells parables similar to this. The wise virgins are waiting for the bridegroom. They're waiting and they're prepared. Their lamps are still burning because the oil of all their good deeds is the fuel for those lamps. When the bridegroom comes, they are welcomed into the wedding feast. When the servant the master leaves the servant and the household, the servant is to keep the household managed well. And when the master returns and finds that it's managed well, he says these words to the servant, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That's what we are to do. We are to wait as Daniel, the virgins, and the good servant have waited. These are our marching orders, to follow the Lord's commandments, to trust in him. As Daniel spoke to the Jews in the second century, he continues to encourage us today with these words as we undergo our trials, our sufferings. There's one last word. In this word, another comes to us in this hour. He speaks to us in our distress. "In this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Amen.